It's the Morning Show. I'm Shireen Siewert. Diversity, equity, and inclusion programs have expanded in recent years at universities around the country, but not everyone is embracing that trend. In Wisconsin's state legislature, the UW's DEI programs have become a political flashpoint. What are your thoughts? Are these necessary, and how should they be funded? Join in, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Megan Zanies is a senior reporter for the Chronicle of Higher Education. Megan, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me.
So Republicans in Wisconsin State Assembly are really pushing to cut funding for the state's colleges over the system's diversity, equity, and inclusion, or DEI, efforts. What is it that has led Wisconsin to this point?
Yeah, so right now, we're at a bit of a stalemate. Robin Ross last week made his stance on this very clear. He said he wants to cut $32 million that the university system would use for DEI efforts. He said that he feels they should redirect it to something that's, quote, more productive and more broadly supported. So last week, after he said that, the budget committee actually postponed or delayed a vote about this. After Ross's comments, some opposition from prominent Democrats, including Governor Evers, came out. Governor threatened to veto the entire state budget if that $32 million cut were part of it. Ross came back and said the cuts could become even bigger. So that's kind of where we are, that's gotten us to this point.
And it sounds like this fight over DEI funding is threatening to stall the entire state budget plan. As you said, there's, you know, these differences in opinions. In other states, how large of an issue is this?
We actually haven't seen this come out particularly in a state budget, other than in Wisconsin. But at the Chronicle, we're actually tracking bills that have come out of state legislatures that do target DEI in some way or another. And I can talk about a little bit about what those are, but There are 38 bills that we're tracking in 21 states. Five of them have been signed by governors. 26 of them have been tabled somewhere across the way. And that's, again, since the beginning of this year.
We're talking about the push from Republicans against diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives in colleges in Wisconsin and beyond with Megan Zanies. She is a senior reporter for the Chronicle of Higher Education. Your Chronicle of Higher Education tracks anti-DEI legislation in America, as you said. So what are some of the examples of the different types of anti-DEI initiatives? They don't all look the same.
That's right, they don't. And so there are one of generally four different ways that this legislation can target DEI work. It's a combination of one or more of these. But the four are that they would prohibit colleges from having DEI offices, staff, or programming, that they would ban mandatory diversity training, they would block colleges from using diversity statements in hiring, admissions, or promotion, and that they would ban race, sex, and other factors from being used in those same three departments, admissions, hiring, and promotion. So those are the four. And a lot of this legislation from state to state is based off a model that we've seen two conservative think tanks, the Manhattan and the Goldwater Institutes, propose earlier this year. So those are all sort of taking their cues from this model legislation.
So really, this all came from two think tanks. I mean, how did it all start? How did we get here?
Well, there's been, an increased attention to diversity in various forms in higher education and certainly beyond in K-12. We've seen similar attacks and book bans, things like that, legislative attention to DEI. And so I think these think tanks certainly provided a blueprint, some language for legislators to go off of, but it's certainly not the first that we've heard or the first that this has been contested in any of these states.
Megan, I just have to wonder if we think back, I don't know, a few years ago and, you know, roll back the clock, and DEI initiatives were growing. People were talking about them as being a positive thing for universities. And then everything changed. So what are some of the arguments against DEI initiatives? Why are some groups so opposed to these things?
Well, to be clear, a lot of people are still in favor of them, including a lot of faculty members and folks at universities that do oppose this legislation. But the basic argument that it puts forward and that the Republicans in Wisconsin are putting forward is that this is a threat to academic freedom, first and foremost. They feel that using taxpayer money on DEI work is a waste of that money. And ultimately, there's concern that liberal professors or DEI officers in programming are, quote, indoctrinating students.
And what is the response to that then? I mean, what do DEI proponents say when they hear these things like, hey, we're, you know, this is a potentially indoctrinating students? What's the pushback then?
They say, no, we're not indoctrinating students. Faculty members and DEI officers say that this is their jobs, that by and large students actually do want and appreciate having these things. They feel that they're not indoctrinating, that it's an important part of the college experience, of a lot of students' sense of belonging in some cases based on their identities, and that they simply don't feel like a lot of the attacks have any credence.
Do you have any sense of what the general public opinion is about this issue? And it seems like there's a stark divide. We have, you know, one group that says DEI is absolutely necessary, another group that says it is absolutely unnecessary, it could be even harmful. I mean, what does the general public think? Do we know?
I think that's still sort of hard to say. There is, from what I see, a sense that the general public is divided in largely the same way that we're seeing, you know, roughly along political lines, that some folks on the right side of the aisle feel that DEI is not necessary, and a lot of people that do tend to be more liberal or democratic will say, yes, we do feel like this is important in society at large and in higher ed. So it's fairly well divided.
Megan Zanies is a senior reporter for the Chronicle of Higher Education. She writes about research universities and workplace issues. You can join in on this conversation with your thoughts, your questions. 800-642-1234. I'm Shereen Seewert. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show. I'm Shereen Seewert. We're talking with Megan Zanies, senior reporter with the Chronicle of Higher Education, about the political pushback against DEI efforts in the UW system and elsewhere around the country. What are your thoughts about these programs? Megan Zanies is a senior reporter, and she stays with us. You can call in 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Plenty of time to take those calls, and we do have a call now from Andrew in Palmyra. Hi, Andrew. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
So my comment would be that these DEI initiatives tend to be more left-leaning in ideology, and like things such as the policies on Twitter, it'll put a chilling effect on anybody who has a conservative outlook or a conservative perspective, and it'll silence those perspectives. So I would say that these sorts of initiatives don't have any place in college campuses where people are supposed to be going to have, you know, new ideas introduced to them, and there may be their ideological framework of the world challenged.
Thanks for sharing that perspective, Andrew. And Megan, what do you say to that? I mean, that's you know, that argument that we hear frequently.
Yeah, certainly that term chilling effect has been used by folks actually on both sides of this who feel that on the left that these efforts to curb DEI does chill their work. There have been folks like Andrew who feel that the existing framework does sort of chill conservative opinion. And there's actually a little bit of evidence in a recent survey that the UW system put out that suggests that more conservative students reported having felt pressured by an instructor to agree with a specific political or ideological view that was being expressed in class. And we could talk a little bit more about that survey if you like.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah, so this the survey actually was a little bit of an off and on endeavor off all of last year. It got delayed twice before it was able to move forward. But basically, it was assessing how students in the UW system felt about the state of free expression. And the reason that that was sort of called off so many times, there were procedural concerns, but possibly more relevant here, some faculty members felt that conservative lawmakers were going to use the results as fodder for budget cuts. They're very similar to what we're seeing here. The UW-Whitewater interim chancellor actually resigned over this whole thing last year. He said he felt like he and the other campus chancellors weren't allowed to give input on the survey, felt like it was being forced through. And so now that we do have the results, that has been a focus of attention for Republicans in the state. Dave Murphy, the chair of the Assembly Committee on Colleges and Universities, had a series of hearings this spring about the importance of free speech and intellectual diversity, citing a lot of those statistics that said conservative students do feel that's really nothing.
That is interesting. Thank you for sharing that with us. I'm curious about what's happening in Florida, because there's been a lot of talk about this. Governor Ron DeSantis signed two bills into law targeting these diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts. It's all part of this ongoing effort to combat so-called critical race theory and gender ideology. That's according to the Chronicle of Higher Education's DEI legislation tracker. How is that going in Florida? How are universities being affected?
Well, the laws are supposed to go into effect July 1st, so we're going to see that happen very soon. But the thing is that a lot of people are very unclear about how this is actually going to look like in terms of implementation. Both faculty members and, you know, staff members of diversity-related offices in the state are really not sure what to do. They haven't received a lot of guidance from their administration or their department chairs. Many people are expecting there to be legal challenges in Texas as well as Florida. So there's a lot up in the air and a lot of uncertainty as that July 1st date approaches.
And let's talk a little bit more about Texas. Last month, Texas Republicans approved a ban on public colleges from having diversity offices or officers. I know that students and faculty in Texas have said they're afraid that these bills could, quote, destroy Texas colleges. How's that all going, and what do you see happening in the future there?
It's a very similar situation to what's going on in Florida. And I should mention that both states, there's also been recent legislative attacks on tenure, some of which have succeeded in one form or another, others have not. But this whole sort of atmosphere of DEI bills as well as tenure bills has contributed, I think many people in those states will tell you, to an overall sort of climate of uncertainty, feeling of hostility. Many faculty members in both of those states have opted to look elsewhere for jobs. Folks are maybe not applying to faculty or staff jobs in those states. And I think we're starting to see students as well, prospective students who say, a university in Texas or Florida is not for me right now.
We're talking about the push from Republicans against diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives in colleges in Wisconsin and beyond, states like Texas, states like Florida. With Megan Zaney, she's a senior reporter for the Chronicle of Higher Education. Still plenty of time to take calls, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. I'm curious about what's happening in those offices, those DEI program offices in the state. UW System President Jay Rothman is defending these programs, but a lot of the college leaders across the country have been silent on these attacks. Why do you think college leaders have kind of stepped back and they've not spoken out against this pushback?
You're right that they have been largely silent, and to the dismay of a lot of faculty members and staff members who wish that their university leaders would come out and make a strong stance in favor of DEI legislation or DEI work at their institutions. I think, you know, it's hard to speculate, of course, exactly why the leaders have remained silent, but you would guess that they're worried about sort of running afoul of the legislators, of, you know, getting into sort of bad relations with the people who are funding, in many cases, their public university systems. And also, I think a lack of clarity on exactly what the legislation would do. The wording of a lot of it is so vague as to be unclear as to how exactly it's going to affect them. So there's still uncertainty there as well.
Well, and how is it going to affect them? I mean, some of these universities have really, they've just hired these positions, you know, people to spearhead these programs. What happens to these positions? What happens to these people?
And in fact, the UW system just last week, a new chief diversity officer started. And so that's still very unclear. There are people across the country who are wondering, what's going to happen to my job? Will I be reassigned elsewhere? Will I lose my job entirely? Is my center or my institute going to have to close its doors? They're really not sure what's going to happen.
How do university students feel about anti-DEI laws? Do we know? What are students saying about this as a whole?
The majority of students that I've seen have been coming out against this legislation. We've seen a lot of people going to state houses, particularly in Florida and Texas, to protest, to testify, and to say, we don't want this legislation. We feel strongly about DEI efforts at our institution, and we don't want those to go away. And as I said, some prospective students maybe are starting to look elsewhere, feeling that those states are not going to be the most hospitable environment for them, given their identities or given the kind of academic work they want to do.
What do you think is going to happen in the future? I mean, do you think that we're going to see more anti-DEI laws, or is this going to kind of, are the winds of change coming again?
It's hard to say. And right now, because we're coming in the summer, a lot of the legislative sessions in most states have wrapped up. So I'm not expecting there to be any new DEI bills coming forth in the immediate future, but certainly there are a lot of questions about, I think we'll see, based on Texas and Florida, maybe what will come for more states. There are states like Ohio that are still very much debating this. It's an open question as to what the specifics of the legislation are going to look like. And of course, in Wisconsin, we still don't know what the state budget committees can decide in the next few days.
Why do you think it is that education has been itself? I mean, we've heard so much controversy in the last couple of years about education, period. Everything from critical race theory to now DEI. Why is education such a central part of this national conversation?
I think it's because of the role that education plays in society, right? I mean, this is how people sort of form their belief systems through the things that they're taught, through the extracurricular, extramural activities that they're exposed to in school or in college. And so, you know, education has such a way of informing future citizens, current citizens. And I think that that's probably why we're seeing it as the front in this sort of war of ideology.
So you've got this education tracker, the DEI tracker on the Chronicle of Higher Education. Where can people find that? And is it constantly being updated?
It is. We update it every week, and it's on our website, which is chronicle.com.
We have about 30 seconds left in our time together, and I just wanted to mention Chris from Wausau called in, couldn't stay with us, but said that the UW Free Speech Survey isn't really representative of thoughts from a significant portion of the student body. Chris said students who aren't Republican opted not to take the survey. Did you hear that?
There was some conversation about that, yes. Folks who were opposed to the survey opted to boycott it, opted not to participate. And so there was some concern about the response rate. It was higher than in other states that had done similar surveys. But again, you you wonder always, I think, with the survey on a topic like this, how representative is it of everybody's opinions?
I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Megan Zaney is a senior reporter for the Chronicle of Higher Education. She writes about research, universities, and workplace issues. I'm Shereen Seward. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.